This episode of The Local Wave is brought to you by The Sanctuary. If you're in a small band, you know how hard it can be to promote yourself. Well, I'm here to tell you that the guys at The Sanctuary want to help. They offer studio space where they create a full audiovisual experience for you to share with the world. For more information, check out sanctuarysessions.tv. Again, that's sanctuarysessions.tv. And be sure to follow them on social media at @sanctuary_sessions. This episode is also brought to you by Standard Gallery. Standard Gallery is a new online art gallery with a mission to make buying art less intimidating and more accessible to everyone. They partner with artists to help produce, market, and distribute their work. Learn more at standard-gallery.com. Again, that's standard-gallery.com.
What's up, Nashville? Welcome to The Local Wave, Conversations with the Nashville Underground. I'm the host, Alex MacWilliam. This week, we've got Jake Germany of Fangs and formerly of Cardboard Kids. He came in, sat down, we hung out, we shared a beer. It was so much fun. He's got a crazy awesome new album called Get In My Arms, which just came out at the end of July, so go check that out if you love pop music and all things that are great. Housekeeping stuff, we've got the Patreon page. You can come and be a supporter of The Local Wave at patreon.com, patreon.com/thelocalwave. There's all kinds of cool merch stuff and emails you can get from me, and I'll send you records of some of my favorite bands just for a little bit of money. It helps kind of offset our internet costs and in the cost of recording and stuff. So if you got anything at all to help out, that would be awesome. That's patreon.com/thelocalwave. And as always, be sure to follow us at The Local Wave on all social media. I love interacting on Instagram and Facebook, Twitter. So drop me a message, send me a tweet, whatever you want to do. I love it. So anyway, there's time for me to talk later. This is a super fun interview. So let's get into it with Jake from Fangs. Great. He also makes cocktails, which are delicious. I'm sure you've had one, but they're my favorite.
Everything he does is perfect.
I know. Shut up. He's so modest. It's not sarcastic. So you're from, where in Texas are you from?
I'm from Tyler, Texas.
Yeah.
It's near Dallas-ish.
I have a friend named Stella that's from Tyler, Texas.
Stella Malone.
Yes.
I know Stella very well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. I toured with her. She rode on the bus.
Warped tour?
Yeah. I was out with the Chariot, and she rode on the bus.
I know all those guys as well. Yeah. That's awesome.
So small, that's crazy. World. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I'm from. It's like the Warped Tour world originally.
Yeah.
So I was in a band called The Secret Handshake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Shit, I know who that is. Yeah.
So I was in that band, and I like graduated high school and started touring.
What year was that?
2007. And then I went to college for a year on a soccer scholarship. And then that next summer, Lewis, the singer of The Secret Handshake, was like, hey, do you like school? And I was like, no. And he was like, do you want to go on Warped Tour with me? And I was like, yes. And I was just like a kid. I was like 18 or something. And he took me on Warped Tour, and I just have been doing it ever since.
Yeah.
But he's kind of like my like music dad.
Yeah.
Still.
Man, so, I remember The Secret Handshake shit.
Yeah. Our stage our stage that year was us and Katy Perry.
Crazy.
Yeah. Bells, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, that's all him, man.
This is my favorite beer.
Michigan? Is that right?
Somewhere in Michigan. It's like my go-to beer. But I'm a big IPA guy.
Oh, yeah.
It's very fruity and delicious. I feel like we're kind of jumping ahead of time.
Okay, cool.
Bit. We gotta get the vibes.
Come on.
So, Tyler, tell me about Tyler.
Tyler is the buckle of the Bible Belt.
Nice.
I lived there my entire childhood. I was born there and pretty much lived in the same house th- through like all the way through high school, like until I went to college. And my parents had me when they were like 16 and 17.
Dang.
And they're still together and they're awesome. And I'm one of four kids, I'm the oldest. And yeah, I just grew up there. It's crazy.
And playing soccer.
Playing soccer and yeah, just doing that. I literally, that was my life, was playing soccer as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I played in high school, but like before that, I started playing when I was four, which is like the age you have to be to start. And my dad's like the soccer coach of the biggest school in East Texas.
Shit.
And, but I played in like club teams and all this stuff and like did all this bigger level stuff, and it was in Dallas. And so my parents drove me to Dallas all the time.
How like far away is that?
2 hours away.
Dang.
And we would go every week all the time. And I'd just be like doing homework in the car and like trying to like be normal, but also like never going to like homecoming or prom or any of that, because I was always on tournaments and like playing these games. Like every game would have just like college scouts lining the field as a kid.
I mean, I guess that probably has gotten you used to like all the attention that you're you're getting now.
Well, and I was like the captain of the team, so like I had like a wrist or like an armband thing that like set it, so it was like very obvious and like just kind of always been in that role.
Always,
I guess.
Kind of been. I mean, well, you're also the oldest. Yeah. Like you're kind of always like
totally
the guy.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, a lot of my family growing up, like we weren't super wealthy, and like my parents worked a lot. And so, like, me and my three little sisters, I was always just, like, the big brother. They're all girls, so, like, the only guy. It's pretty wild.
I'm there, too.
Yeah.
I grew up with my mom and my sister, like, my entire life. So, it's nothing but girls.
Yeah.
Forever.
And it was a one bathroom. Our house. Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand that vibe. It's not the best.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, it's where I grew up.
Crazy. Well, that's kind of nuts that you've had to kind of be the man of the house, I guess. Like you're like the whole time for everything, you know.
Yeah.
Like it seems like you've kind of always been looked at as like sort of a leader in a certain sense.
I guess a little bit. I think I kind of put myself there a little bit too. Like I think I've gotten to the point where I don't really like being told what to do so much. And I'm just very like, I mean, with everything I've ever done, it's just been very hands-on. Like I do every element of it. I don't have a manager for Fangs. Like, it's literally me and my cell phone. And, like, I do everything.
That's awesome.
Like, the branding, the booking, the recording, the everything. I do it all myself.
Goodness.
So, I just kind of like being in charge and being able to know what's happening, where everything's moving.
Yeah. So, if you were so preoccupied with soccer growing up, where did the music come in?
I don't know. I mean, I've always thought music was awesome, but like actually performing and like playing music, honestly, like just being in East Texas and like super Baptist Christian realm, I like went to church and went to youth group and stuff. And one day my youth pastor, like he like called me on my very first cell phone that I had. And I think he actually texted me and I was like really bummed about it because it cost me like 10 cents. And I had to text him back, and I was at school, and it was at that time like super like you can't have a phone at school.
Right.
But he asked me if I would play bass that Wednesday. It was a Wednesday that he texted me. That evening he wanted me to play bass in like the worship band, and I was like, dude, I've never even touched a guitar. And he was like, well, like it's fine, I'll teach you. And it was just like super simple, like I could play it all on one string kind of thing.
Right.
And so he actually picked me up from school that day. We went to the church and he taught me how to play like four songs all in the same key. And I played that night and was just like, this was so cool. Like I stood like kind of up against the bass amp. You could like feel the air like pushing on your back. And I was just like, this was so fun. And at the time I was really into like All American Rejects and like Starting Line.
How old are you at that point?
I'm probably like, I don't know, like 14, 13, 14.
Sounds about right.
And both of those bands had bass player singers. And I thought that was also so cool. And like MXPX was like a big thing.
Yeah,
Yeah, the punk kid.
Yeah.
So like, I just like, I really wanted to play bass, and like that was my thing. I played bass before anything else.
That's funny. I also learned how to play bass. That was the first thing at youth group as well.
Yeah, I like sound checked every time to Chick Magnet. Like that was the thing.
Our bass player at our youth group was he's just one of those people that can learn anything anytime, and especially for worship songs, obviously they're not hard, and so he would never come to practice, and so they would practice without him most of the time, but he had like all of his gear there, and so I just was like, hey, can I just show me what to do, like I'll play for practice. And then I ended up becoming a musician because he was so good.
Well, and that's what, like, I started playing bass a bunch, and I would like buy albums, and then our like landline was really slow at that time, and so I'd go to my grandma's house where they had like Wi-Fi.
Whoa.
And so I would like go there and get on like Ultimate Guitar and print off every tab I could. And at the time I still didn't understand like what notes were. I just like played tabs, like cheating.
Yeah.
And I would just buy an album and then buy like print out a notebook of all the tabs and learn it in my room and just like play along to these albums that I liked. And then one day I like got grounded from my bass because I hated school. I just didn't want to be in school. And I was really like smart, but just lazy, just didn't want to do my homework and stuff.
Yeah.
And my dad also was a teacher at the same school that I was at. So anytime I messed up, they'd just like send him an email right there while I was standing there.
Yikes.
And I just knew I was going to like get it later. But yeah, they would like ground me from my bass, and so I'd like get a keyboard and like learn how to play piano, and then they would like ground me from that and like learn how to play guitar, and like that's literally I've learned how to play everything because of being grounded.
Nice.
So yeah,
that's awesome. And so where did you meet Lewis?
Lewis, this was pretty funny. We I was again in high school, and this girl who was like way cooler than me. I was not very like popular or anything. I like played it soccer and was always like gone playing soccer, so I didn't really have time to like be super into high school, plus I didn't really care to be super into high school.
Right.
But this girl who was way cooler than me, and I never talked to her, and she was like a babe, came up to me and was like, hey Jake, my friends are coming in. Like, she was friends with all these cool bands and stuff. She's like, some friends of mine are coming in from Dallas, they're going to, I don't remember where, like Lubbock or something, and they're looking to hop on a show. You're playing tomorrow night in Tyler. Like, could they jump on your show? And I was like, I don't know about that. Just like being a jerk. And she was like, they're this band, The Secret Handshake. And I was like, whoa. Like, I knew of them. I was like a fan. And
I mean, they were pretty big then.
Yeah, it was like a thing. And so this was probably 2006, 5 or 6. And so she like gave me, she's like, here, this is the guy's number. I don't know him personally, but I know the guy that's playing drums with them. Just hit him up. And so I like texted him, like went to the bathroom and like texted him and like skipped a class. I'm pretty sure to like figure this out, 'cause I was so excited. And, he ended up being like, yeah, we'll just come play. Like, you don't have to pay us anything. We'll just like do merch. We're going to do okay. Probably like it'll be fun. So they ended up like playing the show, and when I got done playing, I like went into this green room, and Lewis was in there, and I remember he had like this super cool Adidas backpack, and I'm really into like sneakers and Adidas and stuff, and I was like, whoa, that backpack's cool, and he was like, thanks, man, and didn't even look up. He was like reading a comic book really intently, and he's like, hold on a second, and he was like, kept reading, and I was just standing there really awkwardly, and he was like, okay, sorry. And he was just like, I had to get to a spot. Like, that was really intense. And I was like, what are you reading? He told me it was this comic called The Boys that I'm really into now. It's super weird and dark. But he was just like, dude, that was a really cool set. I would love to, like, mix it sometime. Like, you should come to Dallas and we'll, like, make some tracks. And I was just like, whoa, okay, yeah, that would be fun.
What was your stuff sounding like?
It was like acoustic, like bad acoustic, emo,
yeah,
just crap. Like, it was so bad. I was really into like Copeland and like Dashboard and stuff like that.
Like I got all the tattoos of the bands you're talking about.
So it was just...
It was a Copeland tattoo for the people listening, not a Dashboard tattoo. No offense to Dashboard.
Yeah. But it was just like me being in high school and like whining with an acoustic.
Yeah. Classic 2005.
Yeah. So he was just into it, and then he played his set, and I was just like, this is so cool. Like, he wins crowds. And so I was talking to him afterwards, and he was like, hey, we're playing in, I think they were playing in like Nacogdoches or something in Texas. And he was like, you should just come hang out if you're free. And I was like, okay. And so I think it was like a Saturday or something. So I drove down there and hung out with him that whole day. And this crazy situation happened where like this guy like yanked the PA halfway through a set. Wow. And some other guy just brought in some speakers and was like, screw that guy. Here we go. Like, let's keep going. And he like had it in his van or something. And so it just turned into this like huge rager after that. And it was crazy. And we've just kind of been best friends ever since then.
Crazy.
And just like hanging out. And he would hit me up if we were ever like around each other, and we would just start hanging out. And one day he was just like, dude, you should tour with me. And I was like, oh, I wish, like, I'm going to college. And he was like, oh, college, like, that's so dumb.
Where are you going to go to college?
I went to Oklahoma Baptist University. And it's in Shawnee, Oklahoma, which has nothing in it.
It sounds like a place that has nothing in it.
Got nothing in it. And I enjoyed playing soccer. I was like leading goal scorer on this team. I was the only white American person on the team, all Brazilians and one Japanese guy. And I was just like this. And I was also the shortest. Like, I was the smallest person on the field. But I was leading goal scorer. And it was like, I had a blast playing soccer. I despised being in school.
Hmm.
And I went like potluck on roommates in the dorm and ended up getting a solo room. It was a room for two people, but it was just me in it. And
I
so
had
I
that
just
too
like
in college.
Yeah. So I just like best. Pushed the desks together and like bought some crappy recording gear and just started making music all the time and stopped going to classes. And like by the end of it, I was just like, well, I'm just going to, if I know I'm not going to go to school, like, I'm just going to start going to the cafeteria every day and, like, eating for free, but not go to class because I don't need these credits anymore. Yeah. So I might as well, like, for the tuition that is being paid, like, I'll just keep eating this food. And so I just, like, stopped going to class and was just making music every day. And that summer I started touring. Dang. I think the first tour we did before Warped was, like, us and We the Kings and Cobra Starship.
Dang.
Yeah. It actually started in Nashville. That was my first time to like come to Nashville.
Yeah. That's a big tour at that
yeah.
point in time.
Yeah.
Shoot. So how long did you do the Secret Handshake for?
A few years.
Yeah.
And then so it was just like a bunch of like festivals.
It's like 2007.
This is 2008 now.
2008. Okay.
So like kind of 8 to 10-ish.
Yeah.
And then after that I started playing. Well, so Lewis has kind of been like the pinnacle of me as like me from being like this high school kid who was just clueless and was just like doing stuff to being like, oh, this is how things work. Like, we did Warped Tour in 2008 in a van and trailer.
Ugh.
Which was the worst.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we were making so much money.
Oh, yeah, because he didn't have to pay for
yeah.
a bus.
And that was his thing, is he told me, he was like, dude, like,
buses are
we can do buses so and we can like share with somebody, or we can like, you know, lose a little bit of sleep and make some money. And I mean, at that day, like at that time, that era, like we were making crazy merch.
I believe it.
Like it was just like a
especially
weird
Warped Tour.
Yeah, like it was just this weird niche like thing that happened in the music world at that time with MySpace and everything. And it was just crazy, and we were still like one of the like bottom dogs at that time.
What stage were you on?
It was the Smart Punk stage at
okay.
the time. So it was like the amphitheater stage.
Dang.
Yeah. So it was a good slot. Like, we were doing that. And
so one of your first tours and you're playing to like ride 1,000 kids?
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, it was crazy because even like our stage, like it was us and Katy Perry and 303 Schwazy, that guy.
Yeah.
The Main. And A Day to Remember was, like, pretty new.
Wow.
So it's crazy. Like, that whole world, that's, like, where The Hire, they were on that.
Holy shit. I
yeah.
forgot about that band.
Yeah.
Epitaph's Maroon 5.
Yeah, totally. So It was weird. It was just a funny time for music.
Yeah.
Everyone's wearing Glamour Kills and like American Apparel.
I remember those days.
Oh yeah.
The old MySpace days. So I came across a Kickstarter
when
I was researching you about 2011
mm-hmm.
when you were going to do the Cardboard Kids album.
Yeah. So there was I was doing like a solo, like indie acoustic thing. And,
did you get like personal attention from being in,
So I did the Secret Handshake, and then I was also playing bass after that for a band on Tooth and Nail called Poema.
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah.
And I, like, moved in with them kind of for a little bit in Albuquerque and was, like, the only person that wasn't in their family that was on tour. And we also did a Warped Tour in 2010, the whole thing. And just a bunch of other, like, touring and whatnot. But we... After that, we did, I was doing this album and I decided to like write this full length. I'd never done like a full length yet. And I did this thing that was called, the album was called Cardboard Kids. And I just kind of decided at that time, like all of my goals that I had as like a child wanting to do music, like, cause I was just a kid and didn't know any better. I was just like, I want to be on Warped Tour. I want to do this. I want to play like Cornerstone Festival. And I like did all of that within a year. Like, I just got lucky, and I achieved, like, everything that I wanted to do. And so then I was just kind of, like, having fun, not really knowing even anything. And I was just also kind of tired of, like, doing, like, crusty touring.
Right.
And I, like, owned a van and, like, toured in that and, like, slept in the back of it all the time. And I kind of just decided to go back to Tyler, make this full-length album called Cardboard Kids. It was all about East Texas and like kind of about me, and it came with an actual book and a comic book that was like illustrated by a friend of mine.
That's awesome.
And like a friend of mine who's a writer in New Orleans, I had like sent her everything. Like I kind of just like talked through the whole thing, and then she like wrote out an actual like book for it. And so it came with like a book and a comic.
Crazy.
Yeah. So I did that, and then when I recorded it, though, I took...
You just barely made the Kickstarter.
Yeah, like, so. Just barely did that, too. I'm pretty sure, like, my grandma threw in, like, $20 at the end of it to, like, get me in.
It was, like, $1,200, and there was, like, $1,236 or something.
And so I did that, and when I went to record the album, I took my buddy Austin Cunningham and Brandon McFarlane. And Brandon had been playing drums with me previously. Like, I had played Cornerstone as, like, my solo stuff, and he was playing with me. And Austin was just a buddy of mine who's played guitar, and I just wanted, like, other people to play on it, too. And we had to write, like, an extra song on the album that I hadn't finished yet. We wanted it to be a little more, like, angsty sounding. It was more rock and roll. So we just wrote this song on the fly, and we all loved that song the most. And when we got done... We, like, went back to Tyler, and Austin and Brandon were like, hey, would you be down to, like, let us keep playing with you? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. Like, I can't play this stuff by myself. Mm-hmm. So they started playing with me, and it was then called, like, Jake Germany and the Cardboard Kids. And the album was called Cardboard Kids, too. And then it kind of became more fun, and we just started, like, jamming together and writing, like, rock and roll songs by accident. And we decided to just go as Cardboard Kids. And I didn't want, like, all the attention to be on me. I didn't want it to be, like, Jake Germany and the...
Right.
And so we just, like, scrapped that and called it Cardboard Kids and moved to Nashville and signed with, like, a boutique label here. And
what year is that?
That was, like, 4 years ago. What year is it even?
It's 2017.
Yeah. So 4 years ago on... July 5th, because we did like a 4th of July hang and then drove up after that.
I just remember anytime you guys would play in like 2013 or 14 in Nashville, like all of my friends would go.
Yeah, it was crazy. Well, and so what happened was like we had these people that we met that they were like, hey, we really want to do your album. And we were like, tight, we really don't have money. And they were like, okay, well, we'll make a label. and like fund it. And we were like, okay. So they made this label. They owned a studio in Franklin. They made a label, and they came from like the medical world, kind of. Hmm. And we did this album with Joe Costa, who did all of Ben Folds' stuff, and Trace Sasser, who used to be in Tonic, that band. Mm-hmm. And which was cool because we were really into like Third Eye Blind and like kind of 90s, 2000s, like alt rock.
Yeah.
And so he was kind of from that world too. And Joe doing Ben stuff is like the same kind of world. So it was cool and it came out really great. And we literally moved to Nashville and like we didn't have like places yet to live. So we were just at the studio every day, all day, making this album for like a month.
Why Nashville? Just because it was like, well, the place to go for music?
It was like a friend of ours was kind of helping us. He was like a manager. He worked for Apple, like for iTunes and stuff. Mm-hmm. He's kind of helping us. And he was like telling us that if we were going to really make a push, that it had to be Nashville, LA, or New York. And we were like, well, we're like three guys from the country, like the Sticks of Texas. We're not going to do LA. We'll die. If we go to New York, we'll like cry every day. Let's go to Nashville. We love Nashville. So we like just moved to Nashville one day.
Yeah.
And we started making this album. It was super cool. And there was a bunch of like just kind of buzz about the album.
Yeah.
But nobody had heard it. And so we threw this like party inside the studio. It was like a listening party. And we found out that nobody did listening parties in Nashville. And we were like, people were like, what is that? Like, do we just like put on headphones? Like, what do we do? And we're like, no, just like come hang out. We're just going to have like, we brought in like Shiner because we're from Texas. Yeah. And we like had some like barbecue and stuff. And all these people just came to the studio and we just hung out. And the album just was playing on a loop. And we gave everyone there a free copy of the album before it came out. And we also, the label was like, when you move to Nashville, you got to play, like, you got to play shows like every week. And we were like, no. And they were like, well, we kind of own you. And I was like, I don't care. And we just didn't. And we didn't play a show for 6 months after we moved here.
Shit.
And we just kept building hype with no like relief yet for these people. And I literally studied Nashville, like, because that's just like how I am. And I went to all these shows and I realized like, oh, if this person throws the show, if it's presented by this person, people show up. If it's at this venue, people don't go to this venue, but they'll go to this venue with the same bill. Or if you invite these five people, as annoying as it is, that means that 20 extra people come.
Right.
And it's like just all these weird things. And I just kind of like, I feel like I was just wanting to like crack the code of Nashville. Hmm. And I feel like I kind of did a little bit. And like our first show was like a sold out show. And well, we did an 8/8 at Mercy and it was at capacity. And right after we got done playing, it went to like 30 people.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And we're like the third band to play out of eight.
Oh my gosh.
And then the next show was at High Watt and it was the album release and it was sold out. And but yeah, it was just crazy. Like the momentum was really cool and we were just doing that and like playing rock and roll music and it was super fun. And I'm not the most rock and roll human being. Yeah. I like have tattoos and stuff.
Well, but clearly the new stuff is very rock and roll.
And I just like, I don't know, I like lean to pop always. And honestly, like Cardboard Kids, we would joke about it all the time. Me and Austin, we did most of the writing, that it was pop hooks just buried in guitars and like kind of a southern twang. And that's what it was, Cardboard Kids, really. They say, now are you feeling so sure? Cause I'm not feeling hopeful. Lock yourself inside and tell them you ain't going postal. Are you feeling so sure? Cause I'm not feeling hopeful. Lock yourself inside and tell them you ain't going postal.
Where did that come from? Like, what are the rock bands that you were always stoked on?
at that time specifically, it was Third Eye Blind. We had like a sign in the studio that said like, what would Third Eye Blind do? But it was like written like WWJD. And we were really into Portugal the Man, specifically the Evil Friends album.
Because
that song's just, or that album's just like perfect. I mean, we got a lot of like Black Keys comparison in town, but I think it's just because like that's the only other thing that was like a blues rock and roll, like besides Jack White or something.
Yeah.
But we were really into like Third Eye Blind, Portugal, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, we were just like making music that we thought was cool, like music that was like just angsty enough to like kind of push the envelope a little bit. I remember my grandma was really bummed that I cussed on it. But we like kind of wrote this and we were like, Austin specifically said, like, man, your grandma's gonna be bummed. Like in the studio when we were like writing it.
That happened to me too, because mm-hmm. I played in a band called Overwatcher and I cursed on our first thing too. And I remember it was the first time I'd ever sang on anything, so I texted all the guys and I was just like, is this cool? Like, are you cool with this? Because obviously I curse, but I was like, never done anything like this on record before. It's like, people are going to know I'm not a Christian anymore.
Yeah. Well, and it was funny because, like, even at that, like, Mercy Lounge show, that first one, I remember afterwards people thought, and it was an 8 off 8 show, so if you're not from Nashville, it's like it's 8 bands and they each play 3 songs. And something had happened and I was just like kind of not in the greatest mood, but Austin like loved it when I would get mad because I would like perform the best. And I just said something like, hey, we're Cardboard Kids, whatever, and we just like started the set and I didn't say anything else between songs. That's like tight. We just like played 3 songs straight, and all these people who, I mean, this was our first time to play, so like I had some friends that I'd made, Austin had some friends he had made, Brandon had friends, and they all, like, I hadn't met Austin's friends or Brandon's friends. Like, all of our friends were meeting and stuff, and all of Austin's friends were like, dude, your singer's like a dick. But, like, in the coolest way. Like, he's just such a jerk. And then it kind of just, like, became a thing of, like, I hate talking on the microphone, like, at shows and Cardboard Kids, because I just, like, I don't know, I was just like in a weird space in my head, and just like if I started talking I would just start rambling and I didn't want to do that, and so I would just say like thanks and like keep playing. And we never talked ever.
That's awesome.
And people just thought it was like this weird like broody persona. I don't know.
Well, Cardboard Kids and Fangs, I mean, you've had like a very intentional kind of vibe.
Totally.
Like for each one of them.
Totally, yeah.
And that's one thing that I look at and I'm like, I need this dude to run my social media.
Yeah.
Cause he fucking gets it.
Yeah. I like am kind of obsessed with the internet and social media and that whole world.
Cause that was one thing when I first started like following you on Instagram. Uh-huh. And I talked to Matt Hoops, and he was the one who first told me about
it. I did Reliant K's, like, rebrand for this new album.
Yeah.
Like, the 3 dots and everything. I just, like, made that on my phone, just randomly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I did all that
and
stuff.
It worked.
Yeah.
Clearly.
It was cool. I think they were kind of worried about, like, they hadn't put out an album in, like, 6 years or something. And they were like, do people even care? Like, can we get new people to care?
I think that's their best record.
Yeah, I think it's really cool.
Don't
it's
tell really Matt mature. Hoops I said this, even though it's on record.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they were a band that I, you know, obviously I listened to when I was super young.
Oh, same, yeah.
And then I kind of, you know, at a certain point I kind of felt like I grew out of them, mm-hmm. you know. And then when I was listening to all of the records in preparation for talking to them, like, I put that album on when I was driving back from Chattanooga, and it was, like, 75 degrees and sunny outside, and it was just, like, the perfect record, you
and
know?
It just feels like it's mature. It's, like, right where they are as people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but I wanted to tell you about our sponsors, The Sanctuary and Platoon. The Sanctuary is a Nashville-based studio that specializes in giving bands a full audio-visual experience to share with the world. Check them out at sanctuarysessions.tv for more. Platoon is a Nashville-based design studio. Platoon is able to help connect brands with their intended audiences through research, strategy, and design. Learn more at platoon.studio.
Yeah, well, that's cool. I mean, because so what I was going to say, I guess, originally was when I started following you, one of the things I noticed is just like this dude has, I mean, you have like a good amount of followers, but mm-hmm. every picture, there's people like, come to Richmond, come to Brazil,
yeah,
come to,
crazy.
You know, and like
crazy.
All these people. Like, yeah. It was like so wild. You have such like a rabid base already, yeah. And you hadn't even put out an album yet.
It's crazy. I mean,
people getting tattoos
logo
off of two songs.
Yeah, there were only like two songs out when tattoos started popping up. I've seen a few of them in person, and I ended up getting one. Because I got it at South By this last year because I was just like, man, everyone's doing this. Like, I feel like I should. Like, I can't just, like, expect that of them. And, I don't know exactly how it happened. I mean, I definitely, like, tried to have it happen. Like, I'm not just going to be like, oh, yeah, these kids just started following me.
Right.
Like, I tried to make a cool thing that people could be a part of. And I think that the difference between like Cardboard Kids and Fangs is Cardboard Kids was very much a like, let's just be like badass rock and roll. And like, I remember specifically, we would always say like, if you like our music, cool. If you don't, like, get out. And like, that was the vibe. And like with Fangs, it is very much like a, like I know each of these people.
Yeah.
Like I sit on my phone all day and talk to these
people.
Yeah,
you're doing Q&As all
and,
the time.
Like,
and
they like, they know all kinds of stuff about me. And like, if one of them, like, if I just like get an alert on my phone, I like know the at name and I know who they are and I know what city they're from.
Yeah.
And it's just very much like this family thing that has organically happened. And, it's been crazy. I mean, I don't have any like band tattoos of other bands, but like,
I have a lot already.
Yeah.
I have at least two.
But I mean, like, the two that you have, like, have albums and albums.
Yeah.
Like, this was two songs deep.
Right.
And it's like,
it's insane.
And it kind of put some pressure on me to be like, okay, I can't let that.
It's a tight logo,
like,
though.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't let that go to waste. Like, I gotta really, like, give these people something then.
Right.
So,
where did Fangs start, I guess? Like, where was the birthplace of Fangs?
I've always wanted to do pop, but I always, like, the convenient thing about doing rock and roll was that I could hide behind, like, just loud guitars, and, like, I played guitar, and, like, super sloppily, and, like, could just, like, slam on stuff, and kind of just be the person behind that, and I always wanted to do pop. I've grown up in pop.
Yeah.
And
who are your favorite? I mean, I know Michael Jackson.
Michael
Jackson
is my favorite in the world. Like, that's,
I remember,
like,
seeing that.
My ultimate favorite. I mean, as a kid, like, as weird as it is, I specifically, like, people have asked me before, like, what was, like, the moment you wanted to be a pop, like, pop anything? And I was like, man, honestly, like, if it's not Uncle Jesse on Full House, it's probably Power Lines from the Goofy movie. And like, I remember being like, dude, whatever that thing is, like, dog, goof, whatever, like, is so cool. And like, the songs are awesome, and I just like wanted to do that.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, growing up though, it was like Michael Jackson and Janet and Mariah and Prince and like that world. Like, I grew up in like TLC and stuff like that, and I just, the rhythmic vocals and just like the way that things hit you, and it's like important.
That's such a good word for it.
Yeah, just like, I wanted to do that. And so I finally just kind of decided one day to make a move and give it a shot and see what happened. And I wanted it to feel important. And I, like, I've said this before in other interviews and stuff, but like, my parents were kids when they had me. And growing up, my parents, like, that time, the like late 80s, early 90s, was like the boom of MTV. So like, when my kid friends or people my age were watching like Sesame Street and Barney and stuff, like, I was sitting on the couch next to my mom watching MTV. And
TRL's coming back.
Is it really coming back?
They just announced it today.
That's wild.
I know.
So
anyway,
like,
super off topic.
So like, I just grew up watching like MTV and stuff, and like, it was just always on in my house. And then specifically, like, I really, when I wanted to do Fangs, I like really wanted it to be important, and I like wanted a direction. I wanted it to be like very focused. And I remember thinking like, how does this feel important? What can I do? Like, what is, I want it to be like important to me, not to just other people, but like to me first. And then it like spreads. And the very first memory that I like remember is my mom vacuuming the house like on weekends. And in my head, it was like always summer for some reason.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. But it was like year round. She would like vacuum the house, and we had this boom box in the living room, and she would just crank it with like Janet Jackson or something, or like Mariah. And she would, just so that she could hear it over the vacuum cleaner. And she would like sing along and like dance in the living room. But she would like pick me up and put me on the couch. And that's like, I remember just watching her and being like, that's so cool. Like, these songs are so cool. Like, yeah. I don't know what it is, but like these bell sounding like synths are just so like dreamy. And like, I remembered that as a kid, and like how just happy that felt. And I'm sure at that time, like, my mom was also thinking about, like, how the hell am I going to feed this kid? Like, we're working, both of us are working, like, 24 hours a day trying to, like, do this. We're both, like, 18 years old at this point. And that moment just felt the happiest to me as a kid. And so I just wanted Cardboard Kids to come from that exact memory, from that spot. And so, or not Cardboard Kids, I'm sorry, Fangs. And so that's been like the goal when I was writing songs, was like, does it feel like this? Like, do I get the same feeling? And if I don't, I'll keep working on it some. And if it's just not going to get there, then I'll just scrap it. It's not like special enough. I think I'm in love with you.
Well, it's funny because today I saw the Instagram that you put up about, or one of the Instagrams you put up about the show.
Yeah.
It was a picture of you and you were smiling in it. And I wrote down because, like, I just went to Boston this weekend. Uh-huh. I've been, like, in a whirlwind. I've got, like, 3 hours of sleep last night. So my process for making notes is horrible because I just think up everything until the last minute, and then I write them all, totally. Write everything I possibly can down, and I put it down. But, and so I didn't really know, like, I do kind of the history thing with everybody. I didn't really know where I was going to go, but I remember seeing that picture and being like, he looks so happy.
Yeah.
Like, he looks the happiest he could possibly be in the world in that moment at your release show.
Yeah, and it was crazy.
And, like, Cardboard Kids is great. I like it. But to me, like, this feels, like, so much more authentically.
Yeah, it's like my real life. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love it. It's
thanks,
great.
Man. Yeah, that, I remember, like, that moment. Like, I saw the picture. I got that picture sent to me today. And I was like, I know exactly what was happening there. Like, I remember that moment. That was so cool.
Which is so rare with shows, too.
Yeah.
Like, to remember even specific.
Well, I remember that specific moment because it was the song Cul-de-Sac, which is the first song I released as Fangs. And I usually play it, like, second to last. But for this show, we were like, yo, let's put it at, like, the third song. So I put it at the third song, and as soon as it started, everyone, like, freaked out, and everyone started singing every word. And it was, like, the first time for Fangs that that's been a thing.
Right.
Because we only played, like, five, six shows ever as Fangs. And that show, like, being, like, over capacity, like, so many people, like, the first three rows of people were just out of state, like, far out of state people. And they're, like, friends now because of Fangs. Like, they're all from different cities. And there's just, like, this family thing. And they were all singing every word to the point that, like, I stopped singing. And it was just so cool. It was just, like, such a cool moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And, like, that didn't happen for, like, Cardboard Kids.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, a certain feeling. And I was also, like, I wanted that show to be super special, and I didn't want to do it in a venue. I wanted to do it inside of a sneaker store because I'm really into sneakers. Yeah. And like,
Rooted is awesome.
And that store is so cool, and the guys there are awesome. And I just like wanted it to be exactly like what I am, like in a show. And it was just so cool.
That's sick. Do you think that because like, are you happier playing like these songs?
Totally.
Like I was going to ask, like, do you think that because you're not like playing a character this time, you know, that this time feels like a little bit better?
Yeah.
You know,
I think that was something that I ran into in the past, was like, it was almost like a facade of who I was. And that put a ceiling on who I was or who I could be.
Like you had to be that badass rocker guy.
Yeah. And it was like, you don't get bigger than that. You're not going to be, you
know. And that's cool for a little while.
Yeah. You're not going to be Morrissey. Like you're not going to be like, you know, Steven Tyler.
Mentioning
like
another tattoo that I have.
Like you're just not going to be the coolest people in the world. Like that's already been there. And so like.
I have a tattoo of Morrissey, not Steven Tyler. Yeah. Also, I want to say that, but go ahead.
But like. Just be yourself and like own it, and if people care, then that's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's just what it is for Fangs. It's just like being completely like this dork that loves like comic books and pop music and everyone's guilty pleasures, and like has figurines of John Stockton just everywhere, like just weird things.
No, dude, I get it. I mean, I grew up, it's like you telling your story is like so weird because I feel like there's so many different things that you've mentioned that I
totally,
I mean, I grew up on NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. I took dance class for like 3 years in middle school and got called an F word that I won't say on record all the time.
Yeah.
And then I started wearing girl jeans and that didn't help the situation.
Same. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I mean, pop and R&B is like my shit.
Yeah.
I get it. I was like, coming over here and I was like, I wonder if this podcast is just gonna be us nerding out on like R&B.
Yeah,
I hope it is.
Totally. Yeah.
But awesome. Yeah, I put like the moment I heard Always Been You, I was like, this is gonna be a thing.
Cool.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, that's on the Well, I guess it's always been a you.
For my wife. I make mixtapes on Spotify.
Oh,
obviously
that's really
they're
cool.
Not real mixtapes anymore like they used to be, but I like as soon as I heard it I was like going on there.
That's awesome. Yeah, that song was done like a year ago.
Yeah.
And it just came out like a few months back.
But are you feeling like sick of these songs already?
No.
No?
They like,
cuz like Cul-de-Sac came out a while ago.
Yeah, they're just special to me. I don't know. Like they just I'm not tired of them.
I love that it was 7 songs, by the way.
Yeah,
like,
thanks.
I get really annoyed when, like, especially rap records and R&B records
totally.
Can be, like, 16, 17 songs long.
Yeah.
It's like, really, at the end of the day, I don't feel like any artist can write more than 10 songs that are, like, A+.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I just wanted, like, originally the track listing was way different, and there were... the last 2 songs on it, Used and Time Goes By, weren't going to be on it. And there's going to be this song called Louder and potentially like 2 other ones. And I just had this moment of like, this doesn't make sense. Like, this is wrong. And Time Goes By was the song that I wrote before any of these songs.
Hmm.
And it was literally like a demo vocal. And what's funny is like I tracked the vocal on top of this one track, and then I sent the vocal to a friend of mine, Chase, who's been helping me with all this Fang stuff, who's also randomly from Tyler but lives in Nashville.
Crazy.
I sent it to him and was like, I like the song, but like I don't like the track. And he was like, do you mind if I like mess with it and see if I can make another track for it? And just send me the vocal stem. So I just bounced out one vocal stem with all of the vocals on it, like harmonies, everything. And just sent it to him. And it was like auto-tuned because it was just a demo too.
Yeah.
I sent him that track and he he sent me this track back, and I was like, this is so cool. I'm never going to release this. And, like, I just didn't. And we just, like, put it away. It just lived on Dropbox. And then one day I was just, I, like, listened to it again. I was like, this song rules. Like, I want to put this out. Like, there's something, like, so sad and, like, final about this. Like, it just feels like the end of something.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, it, like, it's, like, a total bookend. And so we revisited it and barely did anything to the track. The track pretty much stayed the exact same. And the vocal that's on it is that original demo thing. And we were going to be like, oh, let's try to like retrack this, this, and this. And I just knew we wouldn't capture it. And so we just left it exactly like it is. Didn't mix it or anything.
Crazy.
And it's exactly just a thing that I made in my room one day. But it just feels real. It feels, as seven songs, it feels like a lineage of like a real thing in my life that like tells a story, and then it's done. There's no like fluff.
Yeah, so, I like that. I don't need fluff.
Yeah, and I loved that like Michael Jackson, like Off the Wall and Bad, like Thriller, those like 9-song albums.
Right.
And I just loved that.
Or Kanye West Yeezus too.
Yeah. Bless. I love Kanye.
Dude. I don't have a tattoo for him, but might as well.
I love him. But, like, that's, like, kind of the vibe. I don't know. A 9-song album is, I think, perfect.
I agree.
And then whenever people were, like, industry people were like, so is this an EP or an album? I was like, I don't know. It's, like, 7 songs. And they're like, well, that's nothing. I don't know what that is. And I was like, I don't care. It's what I'm putting out. So I just kept saying album.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you can call it whatever you want.
Just
I don't
care. It became an album.
Yeah.
That's crazy. You got that billboard on Broadway.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I was like, that shit's bananas.
Yeah, I got a text one morning from my sync person that does like my licensing stuff, and she was like, hey, if you can have me some artwork by like 10 a.m I got a billboard for you. And I was like, what? And she was like, yeah, just put like this, this, and this on it. And I was like, okay. And I just put Get In My Arms and the date, and that was it. And it was just like me in a bathtub, like the album artwork.
Yeah.
And I was just like, is it okay if it only says this? And she was like, yeah, I guess so. So it was awesome. It like went up and it was super cool. And
that's so gnarly.
Yeah. I like kind of always wanted that to happen, but never wanted to pay for it or anything.
Yeah.
And so it was just a random like hookup that happened. It was really cool.
I've always dreamed of having a billboard for the podcast.
Oh, that would be cool.
So sick.
That would be awesome.
But so what's the future hold for Fanks? You've got the tour coming up here pretty soon.
Yeah, doing touring.
You're playing Nashville on a day when I'm a best man in a wedding, so I feel super. So yep. I'll never see you play. Yep.
So doing some touring, writing another album.
Alrighty.
Yeah, like I'm like, I think the Dropbox folder, it says like album 2. It's got like 5 songs in it already.
Well, 2 more, you're done.
Yeah, so we'll see. The song Louder, that was going to be the last song of Get In My Arms, I think is going to be the first song of the new album. And that song and the song Used, that's on the current album, both I wrote those with Lewis from The Secret Handshake.
Crazy. Full circle.
Yeah, and it was so cool, and it was so like organic. I went to L.A. He lives in L.A. now. And he was from Dallas originally. And we just got in his place for like 2 days and wrote some songs and busted out some cool stuff.
Yeah.
But he's killing. He's got a thing called Mystery Skulls that is so cool. It's like Daft Punk and Justice, but like on acid, like even further. But it's like the coolest music.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. He's got this one song called Music that's like so important, I think. It's just like one verse that he repeats like 3 times.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool. And like, it feels like the end of like a movie. It feels like if you were watching like the Jetsons, like at the end of it, everyone's happy and like that song starts playing or something. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's just cool.
That's awesome.
Like everyone's dancing and there's no worry. But his album comes out this Friday.
Well, then go check it out.
Yeah, it's going to be really
Granted,
cool.
Granted, it'll be out whenever by the time people listen to this. But so there's two songs I always ask, or songs. There's two things I always ask people at the end. The first one is, what is like the biggest like fan moment you've had because of any creative thing that you've done? like somebody you've gotten to meet or a show you've got to play?
Huh.
You know?
I mean, like for me as a fan?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Honestly, like being in Reliant K, probably. Like my first show ever as a kid, I played. I played keys for Reliant K and sing. But I mean, I do all their like social media, like rebrand. I shot a music video for them for the song Candy Hearts.
That's a sick video.
I really shot that video. Like, yeah. I think we're in Canada when I shot that.
Yeah.
It was during a sound check. And then I like design all their merch and stuff now. But like, I was like such a fan as a kid. And my first show ever was at the East Texas State Fair. It was a battle of the bands. My first band ever played. We only wrote one song, and we played it.
What was the name? You have to say it.
The band? Yeah. It's called The Reserves.
That's not so bad. That's not...
It was an awful band. We were so bad. And we were just, like, all guys that, like, went to the same church together, and we, like, were also the worship band, so we were just really bad.
Yeah.
But we, like, had all of our friends come, and we, like... tied for first place, and so they made us play another song, and we were like, we only have one song, we're not a real band, like what do we do? And the only song we all knew was Sadie Hawkins Dance by Reliant K, and so we played that song and lost. Yeah, this girl sang God Bless America and dedicated it to her uncle in Iraq, and she won. I think it was a lie still to this day, but yeah, so I mean, doing that, like we played a festival last weekend, and it was we played a mashup of Pressing On into Chapstick, and it was like the most like holy crap, I'm doing
nostalgic
this on stage
thing. Yeah,
like,
this is so crazy.
I saw this at Six Flags. Yeah. This is crazy. Like that was cool.
That's awesome.
There was one show on the tour with Switchfoot that we did where Teason had to fly home for a family emergency, and I sang the entire set.
Dang.
I like was like a front man, like I just had a microphone and that was it, and it was so crazy.
That was
like my like teenage like, whoa, what if like so and so got sick and I just got to like come up on stage
literally.
And sing the whole set.
That's
like I did that.
So cool.
It was crazy.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I guess the answer to the second one probably is pretty obvious, but I always just ask people what they're most proud of. And it can be like in life, some people have like bigger, broader answers because it's a very broad question or, and then creatively as well.
I think this album, I think I'm going to make better things in this album that I just put out. I hope I do.
Yeah.
But what the album means to me, not even just like sonically, but like, the last like 2 years, my whole life has kind of been turned upside down in the best way, and like the craziest way, and then the best way. And this album was kind of a chance for me to really like deal with my shit a little bit.
Yeah, it seems very redemptive.
Yeah. And I just like, I really got to kind of sit on stuff and like figure out what my life was doing, and like, past relationships and new relationships, and my family. Like it starts with me and my dad and ends with me and my dad. That's me and my dad on a like play school recording set, like on cassette. I found that cassette.
Yeah.
And it's me and my dad just like chatting, and but like being closer to my family, like they mean a whole lot to me, and they actually surprised me and came to the show.
Oh, that's
in
awesome.
Nashville just the other day. And
God, I wish I could go.
And I think that I'm just most proud of what this album did for my personal, like, being.
Hmm.
And it's cool that, like, I was able to make something that means this much to me, and that, like, it meant enough for these people to care about it. Like, that we're even sitting here, or that, like, people drove from Oregon and New Jersey and Florida to come to a show in a sneaker store to, like, watch something. And, like, be a part of it because they connected to it.
I mean, stuff like that is always going to matter.
Yeah.
I think, you know, like, people are going to connect with music that is made out of, like, such a genuine place. And a lot of times, unfortunately, like, that, you know, those are the bands that turn out to be more of the culty bands or culty artists where it might not be everyone's favorite thing, but the people who get it will get it. And clearly you've already got that. Totally. You've already got people getting tattoos off of two songs. So like you've definitely got that cult vibe down.
Yeah. So I think that's it. I think that's the answer.
So you need to now make them local wave cult fans too.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thanks for doing this. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
And eventually I'll see you live
when
I'm not in a wedding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, dude. Well, cool. Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks for having
That's
me.
That's how we do it.
Sick.
All right, cut it, Kyle. All right, so the music on this week's podcast was First Social off of the EP Mint by Cardboard Kids. And then the last two were Always Been You featuring R. Lamar and I Think I'm in Love off of Get in My Arms by Fangs. So go check those out. Thank you to Jake from Fangs with a PH for coming on the show. And thank Kyle at the Tiny Tape Room for being the best and for producing. Thank you to Charles at Platoon for the logo and branding. Lucas at the Sanctuary for all of his video stuff. And lastly, thank you for listening. Be a fan of your friends and love one another.